You're listening to a special presentation of the Ira on Sports show as Ira interviews Troy Tutt from Live Golf. Be sure to catch Ira on Sports every Monday night at 7 p.m. and follow Ira anywhere across social media at Ira on Sports.
Troy, I'm here. Thanks so much for coming on Ira Sports. I appreciate it. I've been at Doral all day today. And before we get into the aspects of the tournament and everything, this course is amazing. I mean, this is beautiful right here. It is something you would find at, it feels like a PGA U.S. Open Championship, something like that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I actually just got off the phone with one of the executives there at the course, and they're telling me that the players are raving about it. Now, as you may know, we've been there in October or so the past couple of years. So this is our first time with Live Golf in April, and it sounds like the players are enjoying it. So that's good. It's good prep going into a kickoff in the shotgun on Friday.
You know, what was fun about this event is I've gone to a number of PGA events, and not to compare back and forth, but when you go here and you had a press conference today and you had Brooks and you had Cameron Smith and Dustin Johnson and Jon Rahm and Phil Mickelson, the amount of star power you have at this event, I mean, the Live roster is full and just an amazing group of some of these golfers that are just, you know, the electric golfers that we love to see.
Yeah, we've been fortunate in our short amount of time. It's amazing. For the most part, we've been around only for 2 years, and the quality of not only players, but really the people that are joining us, you know, that's an important piece, that not only do they really focus and bring their game to another level, but they're really focused on the community, driving the aspect of the team side of golf, which is very different for a lot of folks, but is quickly, you know, becoming quite popular. But yeah, you mentioned, you know, some of the big boys that are out there, and you know, this is a little bit of a warm up for the Masters, right? Where we know what's, you know, coming up in a week, and it's something that's important to them. And so a lot of these guys are at the top of their game. So we're expecting some pretty good performances coming out of this, because they are sharpening their tools going into next week.
You know, when I read about Live, and this is my first Live event, I have to admit, but when I read about Live, I heard about the team concept. I watch it on TV. I hear the team. When you're here, you see it. The team is not just for the team members. It's their wives, the caddies. They're out there together. There is that. And I think in the press conference, they admitted that Bubba said he loves this. He has a younger team. He's more experienced, and he loves, he goes, I love mentoring these players, and it's helping my game. And I really, really am, you know, I'm falling in love with the whole team idea. And I know a lot of my young listeners, they're talking about how they like the team. They know everybody's team. I don't know the team things, but it's, I think the team concept is really one of the best things about Live.
Yeah, it was something as unique as the team concept, which if you think about it, you know, we're changing the game here for a sport that's been around for a long time. So it's not something that, you know, overnight is all of a sudden going to be, you know, taking on that prominence like it will in 5, 10, 15 years. But it's amazing where the team aspect has gone just over the past couple of years. You know, we're now 13 total teams with Jon Rahm coming in as a captain, creating Legion 13. And so we're really seeing it take off. But what a lot of people don't know, and even folks that, you know, I'm close with in the sports industry, once you really give them the 1 minute breakdown of what Live Golf is all about and the team aspect, a lot of their, you know, their eyebrows raise and they realize and they get what it's all about. And you have these captains, you know, like Bryson or Brooks or Phil or DJ or Cam, not only are they players and captains, but they're the GM, they're the part owner, right? They are fully invested in every aspect of their team and growing their brand and their team, not only to success on the course, but really the success off the course as well. So it's kind of neat to see these guys really come into their business mindset as well.
And the one thing is that many of these golfers, if not most of them, have all played college golf. You list all the schools that they went to, and they're saying, this is high school golf. This is college golf. This is what I grew up playing. This is the PGA Tour was different than what I grew up. I grew up into this whole golf concept that you're on a team.
Yeah, and what's unique, some of these guys take it to all different aspects. You know, we heard during the off season, some of the teams getting together for a week or two, renting out a home or going to one of the players' homes and really just kind of working on their game together on the range or even on the business side of things. We have some of our teams that will rent out homes when they're on site for our tournament. Some will go to a normal hotel. Some will actually rent out a home and the whole team is staying together. So it's neat how they all kind of make it their own style.
Yeah, and you know, look, it's great. There's been, you had some change of some players move teams. Player movement is what we talk about. I mean, look, the NFL, we're talking about Stefon Diggs today leaving but there's no NFL football games. We're all talking about Stefon Diggs leaving Buffalo and going to Houston. But, you know, that's just the player movement creates more discussion about what's going on.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you look at this offseason, this is really the first time you saw that player movement truly happen, especially with folks, you know, like Carol Varner and Taylor Gooch. I mean, those are huge moves for both sides of the coin. So it's interesting to see how it all pans out. And, you know, those doing the analysis come September, October, once the season's over, on if that, you know, which team got the better end of it. And going into 25, just like you said, Ira, you know, all the major sports out there, that's their off season, right? That's how they stay relevant, is a lot of those off season moves. So we're excited to see it, you know, last year and then certainly going into next season.
So let's jump into some of the logistics for people who are not used to LIV. Everybody starts at the same time, right? It's a 1:15 start. So you don't just show up all come early in the morning. And, you know, I know people that just come in the morning, you come all at the same time and they play at the holes the exact same times, right?
Yeah, exactly. For those that maybe aren't too familiar with the golf terminology, so we call it a shotgun start. So that means, Ira, to your point, everybody is starting at the same time. For Miami, that'll be about 1:15 on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's 1:05. Gates open at 11 o'clock, so it gives folks a couple hours. And that's the other unique thing is maybe at other professional golf events, you know, your favorite player could be teeing off at 8:15 a.m. and your second favorite player could be at 11:30 a.m., right? Here, you can see all the guys on the range at the same exact time, which creates quite a buzz. And I hope, Ira, you're going to be around to see it because it's something quite unique that you normally don't see in professional golf when you have maybe 10, 15 guys out there. You have 54 guys out there at the same time. They're all working out and warming up kind of within their teams. So it's a unique play. And then, you know, we've had a partnership with FrogX, which is the parachute team. I got to tell you, like, you know, the kid inside of me comes out every time I see him coming down and the fans love it. So a couple minutes right before the shotgun start, right off the first tee, we have FrogX. It jumps out of an airplane and they come down and they're carrying the, you know, LIV Golf flag. So it's a lot of fun to see. So I certainly suggest to folks, if they're coming out, try to get here, you know, 15 minutes early so they can see the whole, you know, celebration and kickoff.
Another thing a little bit different with LIV is there's music during the whole course, which is, you know, which some people will really, really like in terms of the fact that it's you have to be so quiet, you can actually make some noise on the course. And also, I was impressed that the Wi-Fi works. I mean, this is the first golf course. I walked the whole round of the course, and my Wi-Fi was perfect. So those are two things that I was impressed, the little differences you'd see.
Well, Ira, I certainly hope you didn't just jinx us. Because Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi. We all know it's never perfect. But yes, our team, especially AJ Dolan, who heads up kind of our entertainment aspect, we do. We have music going on pretty much across every single hole in the entire course. And what's unique about this is a lot of the players, even the new guys, maybe that came over to LIV Golf this year, how quickly they've gotten used to the music and how much they enjoy it now. And if for some reason, let's say a speaker goes out or whatever it might be, and there's a power issue and the music goes off, everybody talks about how awkward it is. And as soon as the music comes back on, you can kind of see everybody's in a lighter mood. So it's really, you know, changed the game quite a bit for how folks, fans and the players are experiencing golf. And I think I saw a quote the other day from Cam Smith is that for those guys, the music just becomes a little drowned out for them. And if they're, you know, if you're locked in, you don't care what music is going in, you're locked in, right? So it's fun to see the players, and they have all walk-up music, which a lot of people don't realize. So baseball, right? So you'll get, you know, folks like, you know, I love Taylor Gooch has Say My Name as, you know, his walk-up song. So all the guys get to pick their walk-up song. So when they tee off, you can hear a little bit of that. So it's fun just giving that personalized flavor.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who plays tennis, and I'm a tennis player, they have when you have these drills, everybody's practicing with music all the time now at tennis courts. That's what they do. So it's not, to me, it's not so crazy that you have music, but that is a little bit different in terms of that. Talk about in terms of the food, the hospitality, all the tents, all those things that are going to be out there for, you know, you're not going to come here and be starving for food. There seems to be tons of tents everywhere.
No, you'll get filled up pretty quickly, not only, you know, from a food aspect in your stomach, but from a you know, visibility standpoint with our fan village. So that's one thing that we're really focused on, Ira, is supercharging the game of golf for a global audience. And so when we say supercharge golf, that means we're recognizing that we're not trying to cater to just existing golf fans, right? We're trying to bring entertainment aspects for a variety of individuals. So if it's a fan village and it's a young family that's going to come out, and maybe it's a 6 or 7 year old boy or girl that you know, maybe it isn't into golf, but those other aspects are going to entertain them. But then they get drawn into the actual game of golf and they start, you know, rocking out a Live Golf, you know, team gear, whatever it might be. That's, if that's what draws them in, that's what we want to do. So our fan village is, you know, fantastic with a variety, whether you have golf simulators and you have temporary tattoos going on, or we, you know, we even bring in other sports and we'll have football throwing themed activities going. So it's a variety that happens there. Food trucks are all over the place. So there's no limit on the food side. So we're trying to create an overall entertainment aspect. And then, you know, our hospitality, as a person that's been in the sports side and I've worked in other professional golf, we are passionate about taking our hospitality to another level. So whether it's Club 54, which is our highest end, which is right on 18, or Gallery Club, which is on the ninth green, or then we have our Birdie Shack. Birdie Shack is exactly what you probably think it would be. We have a DJ going all day, a lot of good vibes. Let's just say the fans like to interact a little bit more with the players in that space. We're trying to give a good variety to all fan bases coming in.
When you meant for the kids, I mean, I saw like tic-tac-toe with golfing and skee ball and all this other stuff. There's a zillion little games. I'm like wondering what all that is. Like I wanted to do it. It seemed like fun for me to go out and try all this stuff. I mean, and that's what's so cool is because it's hard to have, if you have a 5 or 6 year old or 7 year old to walk around a course for hours, but if they can go and play all these different games and do those things, that keeps them active. And then they get, as long as they get a club in their hand and they're, you know, looking and they say, hey, I want to start putting. And that's how it all starts. I mean, that's how we get.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And then if they can get themselves, you know, up against the ropes or whatever it might be, the players absolutely love the kids and interacting with them. So whether they're getting a ball or a signed item or whatever it might be, or getting a fist pump, those are the type of memories that the kids walk away with. And as a parent, those are the ones we walk away with as well, and keeps the kids and the families wanting to come back.
We're talking to Troy Tutt, the Senior Vice President of the Live Golf for Ticketing and Hospitality. Talk a little bit about the economic impact this is for South Florida. I mean, we were so blessed here in South Florida to have events like the UFC has just come here and the Miami Open was just here. I've been all these events I've been at, which has been tremendous. Formula One is coming in May. Talk about how this fits in terms of just bringing all the, in terms of the economic impact to the area.
Yes, absolutely. So when we talk about being a global tour, we see that candidly in the numbers. So for an example, right now we have ticket buyers coming from 35 different countries around the world just for this event in Miami. That's really strong, especially for a domestic event. And the fact that we are global, that a lot of these folks can go to some other countries to see us. And then we also have ticket buyers from all 50 states here in the US. So only about 60% of our ticket buyers are coming from Florida, which means you have 40% of our entire fan base. So you have thousands and thousands of folks that are coming from outside of town. And then we all know what that means from an economic impact, from every little thing that you can think of, to the restaurants, to the hotels, to the airports, and right on down the line. So with a lot of these fans, it's not they're coming in for 24 hours, right? They are here for a solid 2, 3, 4 days, and they're making a, you know, total kind of vacation or trip out of it. So it's fun to see those fans coming from all around the world to consume and take in our product. Miami, South Florida doesn't hurt. so we recognize we are strategic about where we go. And so it's not a bad spot to be in Miami.
And you talk about the international. This is certainly international town, international flavor. We saw it at the Miami Open. You're going to see it in Formula One, everything. But Liv has really embraced that by taking the game to these courses. And we had Dustin Johnson on the show on Monday, and he talked about how he likes to always play an international game and play tournaments. But now that he's going even more around the world, and he says not only is it great for him in terms of playing in these amazing courses, but the amount of new people that are being introduced to golf that, you know, are coming out and falling in love all across the world.
Yeah, and you're seeing that with the players themselves, you know, even their teams. You take a team like the Fireballs with Sergio Garcia as the captain. Some of these teams are forming, Rippers GC out of Australia with Cam Smith. You know, they're basing some of their team, you know, based on the country or region, you know, in the world. And so you see certain fan bases embrace that, which is neat, right? And you'll see that certainly when we go to Adelaide here in a few weeks. Certainly, you know, Ripper GC and our merch team is certainly bringing on a lot more merch items for Ripper GC to Adelaide than we normally would. But that's the fun part about it, right? We can allow these fans globally to embrace a team that means something to them, whether the team is standing there on behalf of a country or a region, or if it's a certain player. You know, a lot of these countries have been, you know, starving for professional golf. And so we're excited that not only are we bringing it, but we're bringing, you know, candidly some of the top players in the world to them. And so they're certainly embracing it. So it's fun to see.
Yeah, we just had Danielle Collins on the show, and she said when she played, she said she's retiring this year. She's 30 years old. She says, and she just won the Miami Open. She goes, I'd play longer if I knew I could just play at home and have this crowd, and you know, everyone at the Hard Rock was cheering for her. And she goes, this was awesome. I would play 10 more years if I had that type of atmosphere. So she enjoyed that whole team and the camaraderie, and also the fact of being the international side. Now for her side, it was America. So.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, look at the past couple winners for us. In our first year in 22, you had Dustin Johnson win. Last year was Carlos Ortiz, right? So you just really see a variety of guys that are coming in, whether they're winning individually or they're winning as a team. So
you mentioned at the beginning when we talked about how the Masters is next week, was there a thought of saying, well, maybe these players would want a week off, but John Rahm, some of these other players said, no, we like this. I like the fact that, you know, John said, he goes, I don't want to be sitting this week off. I wanted to be playing before I defend my title. I don't want to sit at home and think about it. So what do you think? What has your response in terms of talking to the players and hearing what they say about playing with the Masters with a week away?
Yeah, certainly. I can't speak for all the players, but we do very much keep the players' schedules and their game and the sharpness of their game in consideration when we're putting the schedule together. You know, we're avoiding, you know, massive lulls in the schedule of, you know, 4 or 6 weeks. That's not good for their game, you know, as far as staying sharp. So we, you know, this consideration of going the week before the Masters, to your point, Ira, and, you know, if per, you know, John Rahm's comments, that's exactly what we heard for the most part from every single player, is they like to have something right before, so they're staying sharp going into the Masters. You know, playing 2 to 3 weeks before the Masters and having nothing in between is not necessarily the best for a lot of the guys.
You know, the one thing about the LIV Tour that I like is that you're seeing with PGA is that, oh, 1 week you might see one star here and then there's another star there. And then only in the majors, you know, that are, or the players, do people play together. But in this, in LIV, it's like when you watch a football game. Patrick, if you turn the TV on for Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is going to be quarterback. Josh Allen's going to be the quarterback for the Bills. Like, you know, the stars are going to be playing every single week. And I like that aspect where I don't, you know, you don't want to be like the NBA with load management, don't know who's going to play. So I like the fact you turn it on and then you say, boy, every star is going to be playing that week.
Every star is going to be playing that week, and they're going to be playing all 3 days, right? That's the other piece, right? You don't have to worry about, oh, I got to get out there on Friday if that's the only potential opportunity to see my guy, because, you know, in case there's a cut or anything of that nature. So, you know, all the players are playing all 3 days. It's unique, you know, when you look at Fridays. Fridays, we're able to kind of play with the pairings, which is fun. You know, sometimes we'll look at guys who maybe won at that course in the past, and we'll group them together. Sometimes we've grouped the teams together. And then after that, it's based on kind of where they are on the leaderboard for Saturday and Sunday. And that's one thing, Ira, that we do. If you know, at the top, I mentioned our Sunday tee off time is 1:05. We actually have two different groups that tee off on the first tee. We have a 1:05 group, and that's basically the second place team at the time in the standings, or a grouping, I should say, that, you know, groups 4, 5, and 6, the players that are in 4, 5, or 6 are teeing off at 1:05. And then the guys that are 1, 2, 3 tee off at 1:15. The goal there is that most likely someone from that group will finish their play on 18 and allows all the crowds that actually, you know, 10, 15 minutes, they can make their way to the 18 so everybody can see the finish.
Wow. So again, it starts on Friday at 1:15, Saturday at 1:15, Sunday at 1:05. And talk about in terms of parking. I mean, that's always the problem with some of these golf courses. You know, I was at the Genesis, and I think they have you park in San Francisco and fly you down in terms of when you go at Riviera. But it is pretty. You do have great parking options all around the course.
Yeah, we do. We have a variety. We just brought in some additional parking that's a little bit closer than what we've had in the last couple of years. All that information is right on our website. So we have a combination of on-site parking for some of our higher end hospitality. Then we have offsite parking, but with quick, you know, shuttles that are 10 minutes away, you know, versus your point, Ari, it's never fun that you have this high anticipation and then you're sitting on a shuttle for 45 minutes. That doesn't make anybody happy in their first experience. So we're doing the best we can to bring it as close to the course and make it easy for folks to attend.
And the website to buy tickets, or what's the website that they should go on if they want to see that?
Yeah, livegolf.com. Go directly there. And at the top left, you just go to schedule and you go right to Miami and you'll have all the information on the event. And then that's where you can also look at tickets. We have grounds tickets still available. Some of our hospitality is close to selling out, but we still have availability there. But that's the easiest and simplest way to go.
Troy, thank you so much for coming on Iron Sports. I really appreciate you talking about this great, another one of the great events, sports events that we're having here in South Florida. It's a phenomenal run what we're having here.
Well, we're fortunate. The Doral is a beautiful course and they're amazing hosts. And South Florida, candidly, is great, just even with the folks who come out to volunteer and assist us with putting this event on, because candidly, we can't do it without the volunteers. So we're very fortunate and humbled to be embraced kind of with South Florida. So we're excited for a great weekend ahead and look forward to seeing a lot of the South Florida fans coming out.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, Troy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ari.